This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about the challenges of navigating serious mental illness. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. In 1991, Patrick Kennedy, the youngest son of Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy, was serving in the Rhode Island State Legislature when a bombshell article came out in the National Enquirer. Patrick says he was, quote, outed.
By the roommate that I had at addiction treatment where I went as a 17-year-old.
The salacious story claimed that Patrick had a raging cocaine habit when he was attending an exclusive prep school, which is why he had to go to rehab. In a letter to voters, Patrick wrote that, yes, he had gotten treatment as a teenager, but that the problems of his adolescence had no bearing on his public service. He was reelected, and in 1995, he went on to serve in Congress. He supported mental health legislation, even though stigma around mental illness and addiction was much greater then. Putting your name on a bill like this could raise eyebrows, but Patrick felt that his personal connection to these issues was already known.
I didn't have to worry as much about being found out because all of that was already public.
But all of that was not public. There was so much more that people didn't know yet. Patrick was still struggling with addiction issues, and he had been in treatment for depression since he was a teenager. He crashed his car into a barricade on Capitol Hill while driving intoxicated in 2006. A few years later, he was back in rehab again, and he decided not to run for re-election in 2010. And from there, he devoted his life to mental health advocacy, which also included being radically honest about his own struggles. In 2012, author and journalist Stephen Fried first wrote an in-depth profile of Patrick for Philadelphia Magazine, and then they co-wrote a book about Patrick's life called A Common Struggle.
Patrick talked a lot about his late father, about his mother's struggle with alcoholism and her family in a way that it's not like it was a big secret, but I think that Patrick talked about it in a much more open and human way.
Here's an excerpt from one of their Zoom interviews they recorded for the book that they gave us permission to use, where Stephen asked how the Kennedy family talked about drinking or mental health issues. What was okay to talk about? What was taboo?
I never thought about it as a mental health issue. Everything in my household was in the context of alcoholism. I didn't know anything about trauma and the fact that my uncles were murdered. It wasn't like, oh, and that might be part of a discussion about, you know, what my dad's going through, what my mom's going through. Drinking was just drinking. I didn't ever get the sense that it was even self-medicating. I didn't, no notion of that when you're little.
Now, Patrick and Stephen have written another book together, Profiles in Mental Health Courage. It features 12 stories of people living with mental illness. Here's Stephen.
I've never met people who didn't want to be better understood. I just find that they generally think that they won't be. The question is, how do you get people to really understand what it's like to have these illnesses, their recurrence, the challenges in the family? How do you get people to sympathize? How do you get them to empathize? What if we could find people that nobody knew, but who had amazing stories and who weren't going to tell them in an advocacy way? They were just going to tell them as a story, the way you wished you could tell your family members so they would understand, the way you wished you could tell your boss so they would understand.
Each chapter in the book features a different person's story, told in a way that is personal, painful, and raw, that speaks of couples and families trying to cling together as issues like PTSD, addiction, or depression threaten to tear them apart. Moments of despair give way to moments of hope and the possibility of recovery. Each story is based on multiple in-depth interviews.
But it's really a process. So it's not some individual question that blows everything apart. I mean, I think it's just the amount of time that we keep coming back to things to see if there's more truth to be had or more process to be had. We worked with people's medical records there's a lot of focus on lived experience. Lived experience is an incredible thing, which before people talked about it, people didn't feel open to talking about it. But lived experience is only what you remember. And people's memories aren't always perfect. And our goal with Patrick's story and with the stories in the book is, how do we make these stories more accurate? How do we talk to somebody else who will give us a piece of information and then come back to the person and say, well, this person told us this. Can you talk about that? So it's about process and about being part of a process. And, you know, many of the people that we talked to for this book, I would say some of them were interviewed 20, 25 times. But they also said, and this is always true, I want to see what it looks like in print. And everybody in the book not only said to them, if there was a specific thing we would talk about taking it out, they could quit. They could have their chapter not appear in the book. And that happened. You know, we had one chapter that was completely done, ready to go. And the couple that were involved with it took their opportunity and said, we don't feel comfortable doing this. I remember the one member of the couple was telling us on Zoom, crying. I mean, because they'd been through a lot to do this chapter, but they also felt they weren't ready to do it. And we were okay.
One of the chapters features Patrick's cousin, Mark McMurray, whose son Harry died by suicide in 2017. Here's Mark talking during one of their Zoom conversations, which he allowed us to use, about the day of Harry's funeral.
And Patrick, you came up and just hugged me and talked to me right before I went up to the pulpit and said, you know, there was nothing wrong with Harry. You know, he died of a disease. And it manifests itself in a terrible way, but it's still a disease. And that gave me instant comfort around Harry's death. I mean, that helped me so much, just that one thing. It's helped me more than anybody that's ever said anything to me in my whole life. Frankly, Patrick, thank you for that.
I was heartbroken for you, Mark.
When I started this, I didn't expect Mark to really want to do this, because like most families that have these illnesses well entrenched in their family, there is even more need to kind of keep the, you know, codes of secrecy alive and well and unbreakable. And as Stephen points out, it was a process. It wasn't as if Mark opened up right away, but over time he ended up really sharing so much. And I think at the end, he was so grateful. And he tells me this all the time about this whole process, because as a father of a suicide victim, there's really so much of a self-imprisonment, because there's shame, there's terrible trauma and grief. And to open up any of that seems overwhelming, as I imagine it would be for anybody. And it was for Mark, but because he went through this whole process, it showed that there are ways for people to bring some closure in the story by talking to others that have experienced a piece of what they had gone through.
Stephen says before the interviews for the book, Mark, his other son Belton, and Harry's friend had never talked together about Harry's suicide. They had dealt with their pain in individual ways, but hadn't shared their perspectives, and this helped to connect some of the dots. Patrick says these conversations made it clear how much stigma and shame can get in the way of treatment.
If all of them had talked to each other about each of their perspectives on what Harry was going through, there would have likely been a higher, you know, rate of alarm that would have gone off in all of their heads, that maybe this is something we got to take, you know, with greater urgency, respond to with greater urgency. But because no one talks in and amongst themselves, because they worry, oh, that's stepping on their personal boundaries, or that's not my business, I shouldn't talk, quote, behind their back. And these are all the things we say to ourselves when we run into someone, a family member, someone else who's suffering. We go, well, it's not my place to raise this issue. They'll be very upset if I do. You know, that kind, and it was clear in this chapter that that's what, you know, who knows whether you would have been able to change the outcome there. But it definitely begs the question, if people had talked sooner to each other and weren't so encumbered by stigma, would you have been able to get Harry the help earlier on that might have been more successful.
Patrick says he and his cousin Mark are much closer now.
There is a dimensionality to our relationship today because of this that I never had before with him. It makes me feel more connected with him and him to me in a way that, you know, families are supposed to be intimate. You're supposed to have that transparency and connectedness. It's often not the case when you have these illnesses kind of weighing over you.
Patrick hopes the book will encourage people to talk about their struggles, to seek help when they need it, and ultimately that it will lead to policy changes that would make mental health treatment more accessible. There was something Patrick said in one of the conversations they recorded for the book that really stuck with me, reflecting on his life and the power of taking charge of your own story.
You know, we talk about level of denial with these illnesses to begin with. And I must have had a super level denial because in spite of the fact that it was everywhere, you know, Saturday Night Live, Bill Murray making fun of my dad, my mom constantly in the papers, it was like we're still like in denial, right? It was easier finally for me to talk because everything that I talked about had already been said. It was just like, for me, the process of writing about it was a way of me to finally give voice to something that everybody else had given voice to but me. And it's still uncomfortable, right, to talk about.
That's former Congressman and mental health advocate Patrick Kennedy. Together with journalist and author Stephen Fried, he's written Profiles in Mental Health Courage.